Luke chapter 18. Sunday morning, we're continuing to go through the book of Luke. My son-in-law asked me how long we've been in Luke. And I said, I don't know, about a year and a half. And so we were 2.5 years in Matthew. So we're just moving on with old Luke here. And so Luke chapter 18, Sunday night, we're in 1 Corinthians. Tonight we'll be in 1 Corinthians 8. I intend, but we'll see. I intend to cover the entire chapter. I think it's a theme in that chapter, so we'll have that. And then Wednesday nights, we kind of dedicate to the Old Testament, and we'll be in Exodus chapter 23 this coming Wednesday night. So that kind of is what we do. So Luke chapter 18, let's begin with verse 15. And we're going to go all the way through verse 27. Title of the message, What Does Jesus Love? That title of the message, I'm not going to obviously be exhaustive about what he loves, but I'm going to give two of his priorities this morning from this passage. Verse 15, And they brought unto him, unto Jesus, also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. Verse 18. And a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when this ruler heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And the Bible tells us in other parallel passages that he left, walked away from Jesus. Verse 24, And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? Or he's saying this, it's less likely, not likely, that if you're rich, that you'll truly surrender in faith to Christ, that you'll give up and repent, that you'll turn from all. Verse 24 again, And Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful. He said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are possible with men are possible with God. What does Jesus love? And I think not too difficult. Again, I love this passage. I love pastoring. I love serving with you. I love your spirit, your care. I've never had difficulty in this ministry. And I think that's a rare, unique thing that not many pastors can say. But I also know this, that I will answer for this ministry. And it's a big deal. And if from a human perspective, it would be better for me not to pastor than to pastor, because justly so, I'll be held greatly responsible. Each one of you are specifically created by God. Each one of you, He loves you, He cares for you, and each one of you, you listen and believe most of what I say, and that can be dangerous. You need to study to show thyself approved unto God. But love what I do. But to me, I love this message as I'm just pondering, am I doing the right thing? Am I leading this church properly? How can I lead better? All these things. And this passage just recalibrates me, and it's just so cool. So first thought I have this morning is, what does Jesus love? Jesus loves children. It's amazing. I just experienced this, right? I just experienced this with the grandkids, right? And you'd think I never had kids because I had forgotten. It's like, oh, wow. Ellie is at that stage where apparently we must use complicated words. Because if I heard, what does that mean, one time, I heard it 500 times. And I wanted to just say, let's go. Okay, you know. So she's like, what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm like, I don't care. Let me try to use a different word. But there's just a lot of work. I've said this in the past, and I want to make sure that you understand there's one distinguishment. I've said life is more simple and life is easier today than it's ever been in the history of mankind. One thing that didn't change is raising children. Of all the efficiencies of technology, of all the efficiencies, I mean, you can have everything delivered to your house. You never have to leave your house. It's incredible, the efficiencies and of all the things that used to take forever. I mean, you think of graphic design, what it was originally, right? You would spend hours and maybe days, maybe weeks, what now would take you 15 minutes. It's incredible how God has allowed technology to develop, and it's created a simpler life in so many ways. But when it comes to children, it's not simpler. But I understand this, children are a lot of work, and I put this second spot. Our selfish response is to keep them away so we can do our thing, whatever that might be. And one of the things that, it's no different. No different than it was here. They brought him little babies. Little babies that he could just love on them and touch them. I'm telling you, I hope this isn't some kind of false idolatry. I would wanted Jesus to have held my baby as well, and I think you should as well. I'm not saying, it's just this. It's never bad to have God hold you, is it? I would have been like, here you go. You know, Xenia, I would have had him hold Xenia. And they were pressing, and the disciples kind of did what we do. It's like, hey, let's get the kids away. Get the kids away. And Jesus just instructed them. I'm going to make this statement. I think it can be done well, but I worry. So all the kids four and up are in here. There are people that don't come to Hope Baptist Church because they are just like, no. And so I'm going to talk about we need to focus on kids. We need to love kids. We need to do all things for kids. But I believe this, kids are better if they're in here than if we separate them out. So that's not me criticizing other churches. People say, yes, you are. I'm not. I think it can be done well. I worry and wonder, do we start those ministries because we want the kids out of here? I'm telling you, we need the kids in here. Jesus said, bring the kids to me. And when you're reading the Bible, let's just say the Gospels that speak of Jesus, how he's saying this, he said, bring the kids to me. The Sermon on the Mount, bring the kids to me. I want them to hear me teach. I can't find his kid moments, but kids are amazing. They will get far more than you could ever expect. I think what we have to be careful of is that in our own lives, it's easier to give your kid a phone, to give him a tablet, to put a movie on. And I'm not saying those are always bad. But how often are we doing that versus just getting on the ground, sitting with the children, and loving them? Oh, it is. My wife, she carried the load, right? And so it is, because she gets on the ground a lot more than I do, right? I finally, Callum just turned two, so I found he likes to kick a ball. So I'm good with kicking the ball. So, man, we would kick a ball forever. And Deb, you know, Elia is just complicated. And, you know, she gets the dishes out. Tea time and dress the dolls and all this. And so it's good. It's good. But my selfish response is I don't want to. And I've got to remember it's, children need us. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I just wrote down a few things. We must be a church. And we must be a church. And so Jesus loves children. I want our focus to be on children. I'm easily moved to have ministries with children. I'm excited about the effort that we have going on this afternoon with Faith and Friends. Friends in Faith. Friends in Faith? Okay, I know. Faith and Friends. Friends in Faith. I should remember that. I don't know why I always have trouble with that, but anyway, I'll get it down. I'm excited about it. Our girls 8 to 12 need to have other young ladies that are interested in the things of God, and our teens, our young teens, need to also find out and begin to teach and mentor and help and love. I'm all for it. We need to be a church that loves children. One of the things I'm going to emphasize tonight for our prayer time, Vacation Bible School, it's only 2.5 months away. I want us to begin to turn our focus and begin to pray about that God would begin to move in our neighborhood and like any way we've ever seen, that we'll reach more people from our neighborhood, and we'll reach more of those children, we'll reach more families so that they can hear the gospel. We need to love children and understand this: the more children we get, the more spots there'll be, the more messes there'll be, and that's okay. We need to love children. I tell this, we need to protect children. We need to be a church that protects children. I want to make sure that children are safe at Hope Baptist Church. It's a big deal for me. And so help me with that. Help me with that. If there's ways to do better, I'm challenged. I'm challenged as I prepare this message. You know, a lot of churches do background checks before you work in children's ministries. I think that's probably a good idea. We might do that. That's not to belittle, embarrass. Nobody will know about it except me. And I just want to make sure that our kids are safe. It's a big deal. I truly believe this, that if our children aren't safe at Hope Baptist Church, my entire ministry is a failure. God cares that much for children. I need your help with that. You see things, you come to me. Come to me, let's not create a gossip chain. Come to me, let's protect our kids. Let's love our kids. I want this to be a safe place. We have cameras everywhere. I want more cameras. It needs to be a place that kids can come and they know it's safe. It's safe. There's so much garbage that has happened at churches. There's so much garbage that has happened with people in ministry. And it ought not to be. I'm just telling you this. That's one place that you ought not to mess with. Don't mess with the children. God takes special care. I want to tell you this too. So I've been challenged, and this is not the purpose of my message, but you know, I'm so challenged, you know, of some people have asked me, and they say, you know, what about the abuse of children? What about the abuse of children? Where was God? Where was God? See, I can answer cancer easier. I believe cancer is, so don't be discouraged about this. So I think I can answer cancer easier. Cancer is from a generational sin of the deterioration of our DNA, the deterioration of our body. And you know what? If cancer runs through your family, you're probably going to get it. It's not because God's punishing you. It's just because it's a result of sin. And so I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to go to an extreme today. Joe's getting married June 13th. If you don't get this right, we're going to delay the wedding. Would God be unjust if he kept me from dying? Well, ultimately, if God kept me from dying, would he be unjust? Yeah, Hezekiah, thanks for bringing that up. But that's a sub note. But Joe, should ask Joe. Your wedding's delayed, my friend. It's just delayed. I'm not here the 13th. Would he be unjust if he kept me from dying? Because of sin. So I'm going to suggest this. I'm going to suggest that God is unjust if he thwarts the consequences of sin. Okay? For the wages of sin is death. That's a consequence of sin. So now, I'm not going too far because I've struggled with this. Somebody that was abused as a child over and over and over again. And I think children do remember traumatic things. And he talks about when he's 2 and 3 years old. And he said, you tell me. Tell me about a God that would allow that. You explain that to me and I just might believe. See, the cancer thing's a little easier. And so I've pondered this for a while. And so here's what I'd ask. Jacob, would you stop child abuse? Yes. Brother Jeff, you better than God? Are you better than God?
Oh,
Yeah, yeah. let me be clear. All right. I thought he didn't hear me. I'm going to give him a second chance. Your wedding's delayed now. All right. So we're not. And so people ask that question. I'm gonna just throw this out because God loves children more than anybody in this room. Every single child. And so I don't know what all is going on with the abuse of children. It's a result of sin. You see, I want you to understand this. Our sin is so much worse than we could ever imagine. When Eve ate the fruit and gave it to Adam to eat, they had no clue. Oh, when Cain killed Abel, it was just the beginning. And it was a consequence of sin. Oh, you think, and I think, I can mess around in sin, and it's not that big a deal. It's just me. The consequences are far beyond anything. And so I'm going to suggest this. God would be unjust if he thwarted consequences. Now, then you ask, okay, I'm trying to get too far. What about miracles? Oh, Deb's like, why are you going into this? I'll get out of the quagmire just in a second. Miracles, I'm getting more convinced, are a result of demonic oppression. I'm almost convinced every single miracle was a demonic infirmity. You begin to study the Bible, it would say they had a spirit of infirmity. It would say the demon left them. Remember when they were demon-possessed? They were blind, deaf, dumb. And when the demons left, okay, I can see. All I'm going to tell you is this. I don't know all the answers. I'm not trying to make excuses for God, but I just know this. God's better than anyone in this room. I'm convinced there is something that he cannot interrupt the consequences of sin, and the consequences of sin are horrendous. Let me just tell you, the wrong person to blame for the most horrendous thing that happens on earth is God. He's the wrong person to blame. Do you understand that? And it's not that I used to say this. I won't say this anymore. He could, but he didn't. I'm not sure he could. Here's the thing. Understand, there's things God can't do. He can't violate his character. He can't lie. And would he be unjust to thwart the consequences of sin? My hypothesis is yes. I don't have all the answers, but I just know this. I would stop child abuse. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? God's better than us. God's better than us. We must be a church that loves children. We must be a church that protects children. We must be a church that delights in children. Now you say, well, I thought you said loves children and delights in children. I think there's a difference. I've always told my wife this. She'll love me because she loves Jesus. But it's a big deal that she likes me. And she likes me most of the time. You know, what is it? 82%? That's higher than it used to be. It's higher than that. My wife is super kind to me. I used to tell my kids, I love loving you. They knew what that meant. I am enjoying you and I'm loving you right now. I would tell them all the time, I love you. It just ain't fun right now. We need to delight in children. We need to delight in them. We need to rejoice in children. And you know this, with children comes a lot of work and a lot of just challenge, right? Whining. I hate whining. I may have experienced a little bit of it this past week. And you know, I don't yell per se, but I'm like, Elia. I did that. Elia. And I'm like, Callum. And so I do this. And he started pointing at me, and I point both hands. And they're going to be work. We need to delight in the work. We need to have an agenda. If people accuse Hope Baptist Church, you're saying, and they say, oh, you're just trying to brainwash those children, you better believe it. We're trying to brainwash them in the truth of God's word. The devil has an agenda. He's trying to brainwash them in the ways of the world. He's trying to brainwash them in foolishness. I want to brainwash them in truth. You better believe. Wash that brain, scrub that brain, pour the truth of God's word into that brain, you better believe it. It's one of the greatest compliments you could ever give us. We're trying to brainwash those kids. Amen. And they think, they're shocked. I know, maybe we'll change our name, Brainwash Baptist Church, just so nobody's in wonder what we're trying to do. We need to delight in children, but it's going to be a lot of work. And we can't expect children to respond right away. We're just going to be consistent. We're going to love them. We're going to be kind. We're going to protect them. We're going to know this is a safe place, but I want you to know this. We want to help them. I want you to also know this. I'm not just talking to parents. Every single person that's part of Hope Baptist Church, you should love the children. I love this. Is Junior here today? Junior here today? Junior's not here today. Nassim has a Bible study with Junior. I think Michael joins him. Michael and Junior. And got a lot of young men, a lot of young ladies. You know, you ought to go sit by some of the young people, children, teenagers. Get to know them, love on them, help them, influence them, delight in them. Because I wonder if we don't have kind of some children's chapel going on here when all the kids just congregate with themselves and sit by themselves and we're like, as long as you're quiet. You know, we need to delight in them, love them, help them, get to know them. And the first thing they'll think is, oh, you're weird. Be weird in a godly way and help them. Just know this, you're going to be loved when you come to Hope Baptist Church. I'm just not talking to people that have physical children. There are children in this church. We need to love them, care for them, delight in them. I want to tell you this, we need to teach them. We need to teach them. We need to have, you know, a plan. So let me talk to parents just a little bit here. I've thought about this. Parents, let me just tell you this. You ought to think about your kids 25 years from now. How's it going? Do you want them to be like that in 25 years? Then you probably don't want them to be like that now. Doesn't mean you have to be mean, but I'm telling you, just help them. Let me just give you a few pointers here. Are you training them to be servants of the Lord? I think this. When should we obey God? When should we obey God, Steve? I almost had Rachel violate. When should we obey God, Steve? Right away. On command. So when we raise our children, when should we teach them to obey? After we raise our voice, threaten them, and then entice them with ice cream. No. I want you to understand this. We need to be very conscious. How are we training our own children? If we're training them delayed obedience, then we will also create children that'll not obey God. Parents, your kids are watching you. I love this. I got a text, and a young man, he's out of town this weekend, but he said, I don't want to be a SMO. I forget, he worded it really funny, right? I told you I had a Bible study recently, and I said, you know, you would be better off if you became a SMO. And he said, I'm not familiar with that terminology. And I said, Sunday morning only. And so I had a guy text me. He goes, I don't want to be, I really wish I'd copied the word. He said, I don't want to be a, it almost looked like smorgasbord, but I don't want to be a SMO. And I said, man, I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged. Hey, parents, you just want to be a Sunday morning only parent? Your children will take it far less than that. They'll take your commitment and divide it by 10. What are you teaching your children? Ah, you know, Sunday morning, man, that's good. Sunday night and Wednesday night, we got things to do, people to see, places to go. It's not me trying to get attendance. I'm just telling you, do you realize you're training your children that God's not that important? And you're not saying a word. And eventually, why even go on Sunday morning? Is it no wonder so many of our children leave church when they 18, 19, 20, when they finally get independent and they're like, you know what? That Sunday morning thing, my parents, you know, I'm just, it's not my thing. They'll become what you teach divided by 10. No excuses. You know, I hear it so many times. Well, you know why he's such a brat? Because he didn't have his nap. I can't stand you, Steve. I didn't have a good night's sleep last night, so it's okay. It's okay. You know what? You look terrible today. Didn't get a good night's sleep. It's okay, guys. I didn't get a good night's sleep. I learned that when I was a kid. If I didn't get my nap, I'm liable to say, I don't like you. What are we training? Follow me? Got to be conscious. Children, they're learning from us. Teach your kids to be thankful and content in all circumstances. I get it. I'll tell you an Elia story. So Deb's like, don't. We had Xenia. Xenia was 3 weeks old, so we had, some gifts for Xenia. And then, it was Callum's birthday. It was his 2-year birthday, right? So we had a birthday party, balloons and cake and making it special for Callum, 2 years old. And then we had gifts for Xenia. Xenia's 3 weeks old. And then Deb, trying to be thoughtful, it was good. She had this book that she was going to give them, so she put that in a bag with tissue paper, and she said, "Oh, I have a gift for you too, Elia. I have a gift for you too, Elia." This is not. And so, it's a book. She's 4 and a half, and Callum got a little plastic wrapped thing of bubble makers, and just cool. And so, Elia's like, "No, I'm probably going to get the super bubble maker. That's what I want." So she had expectations, and so she opened it up and she pulled out a book. She goes, "I don't want a book." I'm not picking on my daughter and son-in-law, but that was a teaching moment, a learning moment, and just gently, not publicly, just take her aside and say, "Hey, I know you want, you wanted bubbles or whatever else. But that was a gift. Be thankful. Be happy. Be content." You see, parents, I want you to be very conscious. You're teaching your children whether you know it or not. Why not have a plan? Hope Baptist Church, we need to have a plan. How are we going to teach our children? How are we going to reach them? How are we going to help them know the Lord Jesus Christ? And the final thought, we pursue children. When Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," he was encouraging them, "For such is the kingdom of heaven." I want to encourage our Sunday school teachers. I want to encourage our Master Club workers. I want to encourage all those. When we have some outreach opportunities for Vacation Bible School, let's go. Let's have full participation. And I love our participation. It's good. But you know what I would love? I would love 100 people to show up for a Vacation Bible School outreach. Because we care for the children. We want to get the word out. July 3rd, mark it in your calendar. I don't even know what day that is. Somebody look up July 3rd. What day is that? Is it Friday night? Friday night. Perfect. We're going to Harbin Park. 10,000 people in Harbin Park. And we're going to do it better than we've ever done it before. And we're going to have individual conversations. And I'm going to try to be more creative. And we're going to have other opportunities for us to go out and reach our community for Christ. Every time we've gone out in the Big Mac, we've gotten families that will come, and then we get to teach them the gospel. We need to pursue children. We need to help them. Sunday school teachers, and I love this, I think for the most part they do, it is encourage your students. If they're not here, send them. I look at James and Joy back there. James and Joy, you've probably never been here when I've told this story. Have I told this story before about my mother-in-law? No. You told me this. My mother-in-law, she is, what's the word? Careful. She is diligent. She's diligent, right? So I remember she would, every week, when you guys would miss Sunday school, she would drop off the Walmart bag. Wasn't it a Walmart bag? Just first class, nothing but the best. Walmart bag with their lessons in it. And Joy, she told me this later. She said, we were involved heavily in a large church that we were at, and we just, had stopped going for 2, 3, 4 months, and she said, nobody ever contacted us. She said, but your mother-in-law, we cannot miss 1 week without her being at our doorstep, leaving a little bag or sending us a postcard or something like that. And you know what? You felt loved. You felt like you mattered. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Pursue people. Pursue children. I will tell you this. I'm convinced of this. I want us to be a church that loves children. I want us to be a church that teaches children. I want us to be a church that children love Jesus Christ. And then they will teach us as well. The devil's after your children. Are you after them? Don't survive your children. Thrive in them. And I want you to understand this. I want us to have more children. I want it to be like Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School, all hands on deck. Just love on kids. Be kind to kids. Love on kids. Jesus. Jesus loves children. Second thought, and I'll get a move on. Oh, well, this. To be saved, we must receive the gospel like a little child. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Here's what he's saying. To be saved, we must receive the gospel. Receive the gospel. He's talking about the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven. You can't enter the kingdom of God. Can't be saved. You must receive the gospel as a little child. What is that about? Todd, I'm going to take it faster than you thought. Todd sent me this little note. I loved it when I was on vacation. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Hope you can see that from where you're at. It's he, that he is Abraham. So Abraham was told that he would have a son. And he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And the Bible says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. When God told Abraham, you'll have a son, he was 75 years old. Looks like they may have had some issues because, you know, Hagar got in the way there about 12 years later. But the Bible says this, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. It sounds like maybe Sarah saying, just take Hagar. You take Hagar. I'm tired of you saying, this is the night. And so it sounds like, but he says this, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, verse 21, I think, and I thought it was great, Todd highlighted this, it's one of the best definitions of what is faith. And being fully persuaded, he was able to perform. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. I want you to understand that's what faith is. Do you truly believe that if God says this, he says if you truly turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you? Are you fully persuaded that what he says, he will do? Are you fully persuaded that when God saves, it's permanent? Are you fully persuaded that when God saves, he will change you? Are you fully persuaded that when God saves you, he will help you overcome those sins that you thought you could never overcome? Are you fully persuaded it is faith that pleases God? And you know what it is? I agree with this. It is a lack of love, but it's a lack of trust. And we aren't fully persuaded that God is the one that can help us and God will do what he says. Alberto, I want you to memorize Romans 4:21, and I just want you to be fully persuaded. I don't want you to be convinced that Alberto's fantastic. I want you to be convinced that God's that good, and I want you to be fully persuaded that what he promised, he will do. And you've trusted in Christ. And so Alberto, he'll let me share this with you. He's probably like many of you under my preaching, you know, so he'll be like, I don't know if I'm saved. I want you to be fully persuaded. Have you asked the Lord to save you? Yeah, you believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You want Christ. You want to honor Christ. I'm telling you then, be fully persuaded that he will do what he said he would do and he would save you. And then you will see evidence. But I know this. What causes a Christian to doubt is what? Sin. I want you to understand this. When he says that we must receive the gospel to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we must receive it like a little child. It's the faith of a little child that says, okay, you said that. I actually have some work to do with Elia. They're coming up in a couple weeks, so that's great. I did tell Elia this after. So you're like, that was terrible teaching. I'm a grandpa. I'm allowed to violate the perfect teaching. So when Elia was crying, I was like, Elia? you're so flaky. I said, Elia, and Deb didn't like it. She goes, I don't know why you did that. I said, Elia, Mimi, that's Deb's name, Mimi and I are going to take you to a special place and we're going to get you a special gift. make it up to her. Parents, I wouldn't do that. Grandparents, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that, right? And but I forgot. We got busy, got dominated. 7:30, it's like, is it nighttime yet? And we got busy, so I didn't take her to get something special. You know what I'm going to do? When she comes up in June, I'm going to say, Elia, I forgot. Papa forgot. I want her to know this. I want her to be fully persuaded that she can trust me and that when I say something, I'll do it. God never forgets. I want you to understand that. Be fully persuaded that what God has promised, He will do. That's why it's so important to know the Bible. That's why it's so important to get in the Bible, so that you know what He's promised and what God promised He will do. Stop doubting God. That's the issue, isn't it? It's okay to doubt Alberto. I doubt Alberto all the time. It's not okay to doubt God. I want you to trust in God. He loves you. He cares for you. I want you to understand this too. And I think I'm actually not going to get to the second point. We'll get to the second point next week. Because if I did the second point, I won't be able to do it what I wanted to do. I want you to listen. God's just worked on my heart. And I am a guy, and I'm going to have to fight this. You can help me. So a lot of you are under my discipleship. And so I like to hammer things. And Keaton's over there going, yeah, that's right, that's right. I'm not sure if I feel loved. I love you, Keaton. You know I love you, right? You always feel it? No. So Keaton, let me just tell you. Keaton, I want you to understand this. How long have you been saved now? Is it 2 years? Two and a half. I want you to remember this, that my second point was going to be that Jesus loves sinners, and there was a whole lot more under that I wanted to share. I'll share that next week. But I want you to remember this. You're still in your terrible twos. And I've got to remember that. And so I hope you see a difference. I want to love you and not shoo you away. I've never wanted to do that. But I also want you to get it now! I'm going to try to be more patient. You help me. Because I think you'll tell me my reality a little bit better. See, I want you to know this. If you're young in the Lord, that doesn't give you an excuse to sin. I want you to know this, though. Jesus loves you. If you've truly put your faith and trust in Christ, I preach what the Bible says. And I'm telling you, the expectations of God are high. Because when God saves, it's amazing. When God saves, it's dramatic. When God saves, it is the most powerful thing that this universe experiences. Taking a dead soul and giving them life is the most dramatic thing ever. And so I want you to understand this, though, that we've talked about children. God loves the children. Suffer the little children to come unto me. He says, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you cannot enter in. You know what He wants you to do? Just trust Him. Just believe in Him. Just say this. I have failed greatly, Father. But never doubt His love for you. Now, if you're lost this morning, if your faith isn't truly in Christ, then you need to repent and believe. Met a guy here yesterday. I was blowing off some leaves. The first thing I do when I get home from vacation is I empty the car, and then I come to the church building. Just want to make sure everything's in good shape, no surprises for the next day. And everybody did a great job. Everybody did a great job. Bill blows the leaves off, but there are a few more. Anything, but, you know. And so I noticed this car. Everybody has tinting on their windows, right? I noticed this car up by the van that I was like, oh, man, there's some leaves there. I was trying to blow it. And all of it. The window went down. Hey, how you doing? And I didn't know he was in the car. And he said, hey, is it okay? Is it okay if I park here? I go, how long are you going to be here? Because Sunday I try to keep the parking lot. It's the only time other people ask, and I don't mind. Sunday morning I try to keep the parking lot because we're a little parking challenge, even though we got more parking spaces. Praise the Lord for that. But I said, yeah. He said, I'll be gone at 11 p.m. 11 p.m. I said, oh. He said, stop by to see my girlfriend. I said, oh, I see your girlfriend. And I said, hey, I just wondered. I just said, if you died tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven? He said, well, I'm Catholic. And he said, I don't know. He said, how can you know? And I said, well, the Bible says we can know. And I said, you've told on yourself, because I said, you think you have to do certain things and be a good guy. And I said, in order to go to heaven. He said, yeah. I said, not true. I said, I want you to know this. When I ask you why you should go to heaven, I'll try to shorten the conversation. You said, it's because I'm a good guy. And I told him this, you don't have to do this. I said, I'm going to tell you this in love. Ain't no way you're going to heaven. And I said, why in the world would I tell you that? I said, if Jesus had saved you, you would know that. And I told him, and I said, plus the fact that you're going to get a little fornication in before 11 p.m. Am I right about that? He said, yeah, yeah. And I said, look, I'm not telling you to stop. Because if you're going to hell, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, you might as well live it up because you have nothing to look forward to. I said, it's simple faith. And I told him about this verse. I said, but the results are dramatic. I said, you'll find Jesus is better than a woman. Jesus is better than anything you've ever imagined. And if you had believed on him, he would change your life. I tell you this morning. If Jesus has saved you, he will change you. I just need to be patient. And I could point out so many people in here, Keaton. I just need to be patient. I had another phone call yesterday on the way home, and I was so encouraged, because I must have needed encouragement, because I had several texts. And somebody called me, and they said, I'm done being a little boy. So, you know how I use my little boy illustration. I'll say, are you a little boy? Then act like a man. Be a man of God. He said, I'm done being a little boy. And I said, man, you've encouraged me. I said, because sometimes I look and I go through all that I want to help, and I think, I'm not making any difference. I want to tell you this. It's God that'll make the difference. You keep teaching, you keep pursuing, and you keep loving Christ, and then pursue others. I want us to be a church that loves children. God loves every single person in this room. You're not a child of God until you're born again, but you're a creation of God, and he loves his creation. Oh, Hope Baptist Church, let's love children like Jesus does. Let's pray.